Well, hello, welcome, and thank you for joining us for the St. Paul's Castle Hill podcast. My name's Patrick Jones, and I am the Young Adults Minister here at St. Paul's. It's a joy to be with you. I am running solo today. It's just me. A lot of our other staff are engaged in other amazing ministries all around Australia, or they're on leave. So hopefully I can serve you well as we continue to do what we've done for the last 10 or so weeks. We are actually in our last week in our Apostles' Creed series, and today, like every other time, we're going to answer questions that have come in from the weekend. They might be questions about the content that we covered over the weekend, or they might be questions about Christian life, the Bible, or church life in general. It's been a great time in our series on the Apostles' Creed, diving into that ancient statement of faith and looking what we believe as a body of believers, as followers of Jesus, and using that as a tool to dive into the scriptures and form really firm and strong foundations for which we can build our life in response to those beliefs and build our life in response to who God is and to what he has won and what he will win for us. I'm excited to do this with you. We have two questions sent in, so hopefully I'll be able to go through them in a way that blesses you. The first question is about the content from the weekend. It's about the resurrection of the body and the life everlasting, talking about the resurrection of our human body and how that is taken in to eternal life with God. We've looked at that mostly from 1 Corinthians 15. The second question is more about church life and church addressing some bigger issues. So we'll take the question first that is addressing the content from the weekend. It comes in a little bit more like a statement, but here it is. I know that there is probably no answer, but there is a mystery in a resurrection of the physical body. But this physical, finite body exists infinitely, that we coexist with God as a spiritual entity. The question is right. It is a mystery. It is confusing. And there is a lot to tackle in those topics that are brought up there. But I think the first way in is to have a quick look at that physical body and to recap what we spoke about from the weekend. The body that we live in now, it is finite and it is physical and it does have a time limit on its existence. We all face, the prospect of death, and we all face the reality of death, that this body will one day give up on us. But what we need to know is our God doesn't just get rid of this body. Our God doesn't give up on his creation like that. But instead, our God goes about a work of redemption in us. I think the clearest place is again in 1 Corinthians chapter 15 and verse 42 as we look at this. It says, so it will be with the resurrection of the dead. The body that is sown is perishable. It is raised imperishable. It is sown in dishonor. It is raised in glory. It is sown in weakness. It is raised in power. It is sown a natural body. It is raised a spiritual body. What it's talking about here is this idea of a seed, which is used elsewhere in this chapter. This body, this physical body, will go into the grave and it will be like a seed that is sown. But when we're raised again in Christ, we are raised as Christ was raised. And as Christ was raised from the dead, he was raised as glorified humanity. It was his same body continuing. He was recognizable to the people who knew him, but it was a glorified humanity. A body that could not taste corruption, it could not taste pain, it could not face death, and it could live for an eternity with God. We believe that our bodies will go into the grave as perishable bodies, in fact, ones that have perished, but when they're raised again, they'll be raised imperishable, capable of eternal life. That they'll be sown and go into the grave in dishonor, still marred by original sin and personal sin, even though we are forgiven in Christ, but it will be raised glorified, sown in weakness with the limitations that our body faces day in, day out, but raised in power, sown a natural body, but raised a spiritual body. What we need to be careful of is separating the physical and the spiritual and saying physical is bad and spiritual is good, and making that clean blanket statement. Because the bodies, the scriptures say, that not only is our body corrupted, but our spirit, the spirit of worldliness and the spirit of this earth or the spirit of the flesh, that also needs the work of God going in and glorifying and redeeming and putting new life into so it can be with us for all of eternity. So what God does is he works on our physical body and glorifies it and redeems it and strengthens it into eternity, that it is no longer perishable. It is imperishable. You could add to that line, not to add to the scriptures, but you could say it is sown finite but raised infinite. So what God does as he brings us out of the grave in Christ is to raise us glorified and to raise us in strength so we can not only be eternal, because that's the smaller of the two tasks, but we can actually be in the presence of God for eternity, which is the bigger task. And that's why we need that glorification and that redemption and that cleansing of Christ and that new life and new spirit in Christ, that we ought to be fully glorified and fully redeemed so we can enjoy God forever. To summarize that, I think the two key points is there's continuation. There is continuation. The bodies that we have now, though they might be like a seed and then sprout into something entirely different and glorified and bigger and greater with more splendor, as 1 Corinthians 15 says, there is still that continuation. The second thing is there is glorification. It is redeemed, it is changed, it is molded by God, so we can not only exist infinitely with God, but we can exist in the presence of God. Hopefully that speaks to that tension and that mystery that was raised, and it is indeed a mystery that we won't fully understand until we are with God in heaven forever, but I think we'll be less focused on our resurrected bodies and more focused on enjoying the glory and the goodness of God on that day. I hope that helps with that front and with that sort of question. There is a lot more to unpack, but we'll leave it there. The second question is more generally about church life and about how the church is addressing different sorts of things. And so I want to let you know that this next question covers issues of abuse and domestic violence. So if that's not a question you feel comfortable to listen to, feel free to jump off now, and that's no problem at all. It is the last question we'll be answering anyway. So here's the question. How is the church addressing topics such as domestic violence and different types of abuse? Thank you for this question. I know these questions are hard to send in and hard to ask, and so I really appreciate whoever it was that sent this in. And there's a few different things that I think would be helpful to look at and to address as we think about this question. The first, particularly with domestic violence, we have spoken out against it from the platform and in a public way. And I think our senior staff have led us brilliantly in making that stance that our church opposes domestic violence and all types of abuse. And we've said that publicly, and we will continue to say that. Obviously, it's not something that comes up every single week, but it's something that hopefully we can not only teach and show, but we can follow through in the way that we care for people. And I think it makes sense as church leaders to speak out against domestic violence and all sorts of abuse, because if we take a biblical perspective, looking at how we are instructed to live as a family, we are called to honor one another, to lay down our lives for each other, to love and respect each other, and to not exasperate when it comes to children. And that picture of the family life when it comes to domestic violence is the picture that God promotes and the picture that God wants us to live out. And there is no room for violence or any sort of abuse within that. There's no room for emotional abuse. There's no room for spiritual abuse. There's no room for physical abuse or any other sort of abuse that might come. The biblical stance is one of love and caring and putting the needs of the other before your own. It's the antithesis of an abusive relationship. And with that, as the biblical stance, it makes sense to speak out against it regularly and let this just be another moment of that, where as a church, we stand against domestic violence and all sorts of abuse. And I want to say that that's not just abuse within the family, but our church has put in place policy and procedure to make sure if there's any abuse like there has been historically around the world in the churches, that can be stamped out and reported and everything like that within our circumstances. And we do absolutely everything we can to mitigate risk in regards to that happening. The other thing I'd say is I can understand there's a desire to hear this more and to have it raised up in lights as something big. the church does a lot of ministry in this area, but it's not like, say, when our youth come back from youth camp or after our kids celebrate an amazing week at Super Week and we celebrate that from the platform and we stand up and cheer. Out of love for the people who have been victims in these circumstances, it's not something we speak about overtly publicly. It's not something we stand up and cheer about in that sense. There is good ministry happening, but out of love for the people who we're doing that ministry with, it's not something we kind of champion and celebrate in that sense in a public way. The largest way in which our church is addressing these issues is with relationships with people and working with people who are victims and people who are perpetrators of violence and abuse, and with victims walking with them in confidentiality where it's right and legal and where they want it, and walking with them to strengthen them and to protect them. There is a lot of ministry happening in that space. The church has also made significant contributions to services and resources for victims of abuse and domestic violence. And again, we don't celebrate that loud from the platform, not because it's not important, but because it's not the appropriate place for that sort of ministry to be celebrated. So all in all, what was I saying? We have spoken out against it. With a biblical view, we should speak out against it. If you want to say that it should be spoken out against more, that's fair, and that might be something to consider. But it isn't a ministry that we're going to celebrate in the way we celebrate other ministries. It's mostly done personally and privately with the appropriate authorities involved as well. It is a ministry that, in an area of service that we make contributions to and place resources in. And the last thing I'll say around that is, if you are yourself a victim of domestic violence or abuse, we really hope that we've been able to create a safe place where you'll be heard, where you'll be listened to, where you'll be protected. And so we would love for you to feel like you can reach out to any member of our staff team here, and hopefully we can walk with you through the process that is ahead in that. We would love to be able to help on that front as best we can as a church. So please do reach out, please make contact, and we'd love to see how we can bless and serve in that front. Well, thank you for that question and for the others as well over this whole series. It is great to take time to stop and think about the questions and the challenges we have from the passages on the weekend, but to also think about church life and Christian life and what that looks like in a world that is not clean and that is not easy and that has a lot of struggles and issues with that. And that brings us to an end of our Apostles Creed series. Thank you for joining us. Thank you for taking the time to dive a little bit deeper. And we hope that you have been blessed. We hope that you have been encouraged. And we hope as you go forward in your faith, you are better able to proclaim what you believe, but also strengthened in that to live it out for the glory of God. And we'll see you again on Sunday.